Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I've chosen to look at the first lesson that was read because I find that the second lesson doesn't really apply to Door County. When we talk about the rich man and Lazarus, I think of the generosity of the people here. And so I find that I want to talk about something that's harder for me than easier. It would be easy for me to talk about the rich man because we can say that we do the things that we need to do to help people in need. But when I read the one about the letter to Timothy where it says, we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it, I have a yeah, but. I understand that naked we came in and naked we go out, but in between that time, I like my stuff. Do you like your stuff? I love shopping in Door County, and I loved getting stuff because I think I'm also contributing to the economic success of people in Door County. So I go and buy stuff, and usually I'm a walking advertisement for stuff. I like my stuff. So when I read this and it says, if we have food and clothing, let's be content, I think, but does that mean I have to get rid of my stuff? Well, yes and no. If my stuff is choking out my life, then yes. If my stuff gets so much that that's all I'm looking at, then yes. And I believe that what this scripture is talking about is putting it all in perspective. When I preached this at 8, my husband was sitting in the back row, and I said, you know, my fear on preaching about this is he'll go home and cut up my credit cards. We have to have perspective, and the perspective is this, that none of the pretty things that I love, none of the stuff that I bring around me can compare with the beauty and the grace of God's creative world. When I look out my window and I see the sunset, none of my stuff compares to that. None of my stuff compares to the beauty of the stars at night. None of my stuff compares with the beauty of the shore. None of my stuff can compare with the gift that God lavishes on us, not only of the created world, but of the creatures in this world and the people that God gives to me. Life would be so empty if all we were was surrounded by stuff and not by relationships. When I think of the things that bring me joy, it's not looking at a trinket or a piece of jewelry. The things that bring me joy are when I have breakfast or lunch with a friend. The things that bring me joy is when I'm surrounded by family and friends. Those are the things that God has given to us in abundance. There's been a study done about prisoners in isolation and what it does for them. Do you know that isolation was actually formed by Christians who did not understand psychology? Many, many years ago, it was thought that if you put people in solitary confinement, it would help them to think about what they had done wrong and reform themselves. What we have found is that when people are put in isolation, it actually causes mental illness. Because even people in prison need each other, they need community. So it is vitally important for us to be content. We need other people. We need to put our stuff into perspective. I learned this some years ago when I was very jealous of my aunt and uncle and their kids. I was with a family of 5 kids. My parents worked hard, but they couldn't provide the things that I saw my aunt and uncle had, because they had 2 kids. He had a really nice job. She was able to stay home, and she was kind of a Martha Stewart. Everything was perfect in her house, not so much in mine. When her children were little, she got sick, and Dad, instead of taking care of the kids, asked my parents to take on two more children. This is alongside of their five. She was sick so long that my mother had to register these children in school. She had to provide for them through the holidays. They were even with us over Christmas time. And Christmas time at our house did not look pretty. Now, at that time, if you had money, you didn't buy a real tree. You bought one of those white monstrosities that everyone thought was just wonderful at that time. And so they had this beautiful tree. Well, at Christmas Eve, my parents would pile us in the car, and we'd go to the used tree lot and find the cruddiest looking tree, because that was the cheapest, and bring it home and decorate it with really awful looking ornaments. It never looked pretty. And we'd have a Christmas the next day with very simple things, because that's what they could afford. And I remember my cousins had the latest. They had the best toys. They had the best of everything. When one of my cousins reached adulthood, he told my parents that the happiest time in his life was running into that car, piling in, and getting that ugly tree and putting it up. That the happiest times in his life was sharing space with five other kids, because his parents had forgotten something. In their accumulation of good stuff, they had forgotten the best, and that was relationships with their children. Paul is telling Timothy, go after the important things in life. And the important things in life are grace and peace and love. But he also says something else, and I want us, especially those of us who have influence on younger people, to listen to this. When Paul was writing to Timothy, Timothy was a kind of shy guy. He was timid. We think he had ulcers, because Paul talks about how his stomach was always upset. In fact, in some parts of the scripture, Paul said to him, I've seen your tears. Now, Timothy adored Paul. He looked up to him. He traveled with him. And I'm sure that when he was traveling with Paul, it was wonderful, because he could get his energy from this magnificent man. But then he was alone with a great big assignment. He had to pastor a group that were older than he, that were more successful than he was. And I'm sure he felt like he was in over his head. And when Paul writes to him, Paul doesn't say, you know, I know you're timid and shy and kind of stumbling around. What he says to him is, man of God. Now, that title wasn't just a title he conferred. That title was used for people like Moses, people like Ezekiel, people who were prominent in the faith and in their history. And he gives that title to Timothy. He says, man of God. And I could just see Timothy reading that and getting his back straightened, because he was a man of God. He gave him a title for which he could reach. Instead of saying, you know, I know you're kind of a loser, and, you know, I'll just bolster you up, he said, you are a man of God. And then he encouraged him in that way. And I think how important that is when we see young people, to encourage them, to give them the name to live up to. When I first went into the Moravian Church in my 20s, I was fairly sarcastic. I could be very mean-spirited, and I was not much fun at home. My parents, if they were alive, would attest to that. And the pastor, every Sunday when I'd come back to shake his hand, would say to me, "Dear Dawn." He did this every single time he saw me, Dear Dawn, now how can you be mean and rotten and ornery when somebody every single week is calling you Dear Dawn? My mother was going to a different church, and she started to come to the church that I attended and became a member, and I asked her why. I said, it's a very different tradition from what we were raised. And she said, well, Dawn, I have to say to you, I love you very much, but you were a real beast to live with. And after you came to this church, you stopped being a beast. And I wanted to see what was different about this church. And I knew what it was. I was living up to a title that was given to me, Dear Dawn. How can we encourage people that we might want to smack around? How do we encourage them? We call them by the name that they can live up to. And we give them that encouragement. So this week, I would challenge you. We might have wonderful stuff around, but it's the relationships we need to nurture. And who, what title can we confer on the people around us so that they'll rise up and be the people of God? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the love that surrounds us, for the beauty of nature, for the friendships you've given to us, most importantly, for the friendship that we have with you. And I ask, O Lord, that we will be your people this week, that we, with our words, we will encourage and challenge. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.